And you should turn to Isaiah chapter 40, because that's where we're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so. Welcome to Advent. I love the turning of our focus to the miracle of the incarnation and our hearts to the anticipation of Christ's birth. The message of Christmas and Advent is, it's good news for all of us. I know Christmas time is kind of, well, the holiday becomes stressful and kind of some of us kind of struggle at this season of the year. But anyway, the Bible brings us a message of comfort and hope in the midst of that. That's what this is all about. So we call this the comfort of Christmas. Go back with me long before the birth of Jesus back to the words of the prophet Isaiah. If you're familiar with Handel's Messiah, if you've listened to that, then you recognize the opening lines of chapter 40 from one of the songs of the Messiah. Comfort ye my people, saith our God. That's the King James Version. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. I say those words and I can hear the soloist singing that. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The New International Version reads this way, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's good news that God wants us to be comforted. Comfort my people, he says. That's what God wants for all of us, to receive comfort. In fact, the Bible speaks of God as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says he's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others with the comfort that we have received. So there is comfort available for all of us. If you've ever been at a place where you just feel inconsolable, you know, where you're hurting so deeply that nothing, it seems like nothing could reach you or help you or touch the pain that you're feeling, you're just beyond comfort, then there is a message for you today. The God of all comfort has come to you. It is possible that you can find that comfort. So how does he comfort us? Well, Isaiah begins to tell us here in chapter 40. First of all, there's the comfort of his forgiveness and pardon. So in verse 2, he declares that he's pardoned our iniquity. How good is that? Our sins have been paid for. And I want you to see the context of this passage. And Isaiah 40 is really, there's so many great verses here. It's really kind of a favorite chapter. And the prophet Isaiah brings us such hope in the midst of this. Isaiah has just finished telling King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, that judgment is coming. And they've been spared from the Assyrians that were coming in to capture them. But eventually they're going to fall into the hands of the Babylonians and they're going to be exiled to Babylon. The end is coming. Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. And all of that's going to happen because of their sin and rebellion against the Lord. And so the prophet speaks of warfare. The two translations we had up there, one speaks of that her warfare will be accomplished. Another says that her hard service has been completed. So he's speaking about something they're going to have to endure. But then beginning in chapter 40, where we are today, God speaks to them and he doesn't leave them without hope. Instead, he speaks of a time when he will come to them and save them. He speaks of a time of deliverance from this hard service, a time of restoration and salvation was going to come to them and it would end their exile and their brokenness. So God tells Isaiah, speak this word of comfort to them. I know we've spoken this word of destruction and judgment that's coming, but I don't want to leave them without hope. Speak this word of comfort. He says, speak tenderly, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. And again, this is referring to a future time, a healing, a deliverance that's going to come. Again, they're going to go through judgment and exile, but God says, tell them there's hope. Tell them I'm going to restore them. Tell them the dark days are only for a season. Tell them that I've not forgotten them, that I'll shepherd them and I'll carry them. I'll watch over my flock like a good shepherd. All right. So tell them all of that and start here. Tell them that I forgive them. Tell them that their sin has been paid for, that their iniquity has been pardoned, that they'll be carried off into exile because of their sin, but from the Lord's very hand, salvation and deliverance is going to come. And as Isaiah develops this through the coming chapters, it becomes pretty apparent to what he's referring, that the hard service that he mentions, that the warfare that's accomplished refers to their exile in Babylon, but the payment for their sins is referring to the sacrifice of Christ that's described later in Isaiah in chapter 52 and 53. The truth is, the prophet Isaiah, there are probably more messianic references in the writings of the prophet Isaiah than anywhere else in the Old Testament, that he's constantly pointing that direction. And in chapter 52 and 53, the prophet speaks of one who will be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace is laid upon him. By his stripes we're healed. The one upon whom was laid the iniquities of us all, he says. And that's Jesus. Forgiveness of sin and pardon comes through Jesus. So the message of Christmas is a message of comfort. It's a message of forgiveness and abundant pardon. That you don't have to die hopeless and go to hell because of your sin. Instead, there's good news. A Savior is born in Bethlehem. Jesus has come to live and to die on the cross to bear the penalty for your sins so you could be declared forgiven and clean and righteous. The New Testament says God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen, there is comfort in knowing that our sins are forgiven, that we don't have to be bound by sin and guilt and shame. The weight of that sin is lifted off of us, the sin that was crushing us, that we're free from the sentence of death that hung over us. You hear what I'm telling you this morning? Our sins are forgiven. Our iniquity has been pardoned. Our debt has been canceled. Our record has been expunged. God doesn't hold our sins against us any longer. The Bible says that they're cast as far as the east is from the west. They're not to be remembered or held against us any longer. That's the good news for all of us today. And the invitation then is given to all who will receive Him as Savior, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, and He'll forgive our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. We'll receive that full pardon, and we can know the comfort that comes from knowing that our sins are pardoned. We don't have to live the rest of our life looking over our shoulder, afraid that God in His sheriff uniform is going to show up and knock at the door and haul us off to hell. Instead, He's expunged our record, forgiven our sins, our iniquity's been pardoned, and folks, there's comfort for us today. Our sins have been forgiven in Christ. Well, look what else He does to comfort us. He comforts us with the hope of deliverance. Verse 3 says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He's telling us to get ready, to prepare our hearts. That's what Advent's all about, is a time of preparation for what we're expecting, the coming of the Lord. We expect His birth. We expect His second coming, His arrival when He comes again. So it's a time of preparation. And so Isaiah says, get prepared and make straight in the wilderness a highway. Now, it's not a command for the people to get out in the desert and start road construction, blasting through the mountains and filling in the valleys. How do we know that? Because later in Isaiah, the Lord says, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to make the highway out in the wilderness. He says, I'll lead the blind by ways they've not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I'll guide them. I'll turn the darkness into light before them, and I'll make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do, he says. I will not forsake them. And the next chapter, he says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I'll provide water in the desert, streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people. So he's preparing a road for them. When the prophet says this, prepare the way, prepare a highway in the wilderness, he's talking about making preparation It referred to the practice of constructing a processional way for a visiting dignitary. So if somebody important is coming, if the king's coming, well, then you prepared a special road for him. If we'd have to fix the driveway out here if the king was coming, all right? And we're going to do that if you'll keep paying on your building pledge. We got a big payment coming up here, so we're going to eventually get that fixed. But that's what it's saying. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to fix the road. I'm preparing a path for not a dignitary this time, but for the entrance of the King of Kings to come into your circumstances and make the difference. He's preparing a way, and he declares that this way will be straight and level and free of obstacles. It means that he's coming to help us, and get this, that God will arrive without fail. He'll travel without difficulty, and he won't be delayed by hindrances or circumstances. He's fixing everything so he can get there to us. Be comforted in this, that the Lord has prepared a way through the desert, a highway in the middle of the wilderness, and God is coming down that highway to deliver you out of your exile and out of your fear and out of sickness and depression and bondage. You don't have to clear the way. He says, I'll do that for you. I'll make a way to deliver us. And it's a direct path coming right by your house. And his deliverance won't be slowed down. It won't be hindered. He may not get there early, but he won't be late, right? That's what the song says. He may not be early, but he's always going to be right on time. We can trust him with that he's bringing the deliverance that we need. So Isaiah says there's a voice crying in the desert, get ready, get ready, get ready. Deliverance is coming. Well, how do you know for sure deliverance is coming? I know for sure because the deliverer is coming. That's why I believe that deliverance is on his way. The deliverer is coming. The one who has all power and all authority, the healer and the provider, the Prince of Peace is on his way, and we can trust him today. You're going to see his glory manifested. It was about a 30-day walk from Babylon in Iraq down to Jerusalem. It was a long journey then, filled with all kinds of peril. I wouldn't want to drive it today from Babylon on down. And it may have sounded impossible to the people, and think of them not just as Isaiah is reading this, but to those in exile living in Babylon and living under oppression and under this rule. And somebody says, remember what the prophet Isaiah said. And they begin to read his words of a promise that, prepare the way because we're going home. Prepare the way because the deliverer is coming. Prepare the way. And they're saying, it's not going to happen. The king's not going to let us go. There's no way we're getting out of here. But somebody says, yeah, but God said it was going to happen. God says it. Daniel tells them, you know what? I read the book. Jeremiah said this is going to last 70 years and then we're getting out of here. The end's coming. A deliverer's coming. Get ready. Prepare the way. We're going home. We're getting out of here. And it may have sounded unlikely, but I'm telling you this morning, when God says you're going to be free, you can pack your bags, get the kids' stuff ready, get ready, get the gas in the car, because you're going on a journey. He's going to set you free. Nobody's going to delay you. No power can hinder you. The valleys can't slow you down. The mountains can't block your path, because God already said, I'll raise the low places up. I'll bring the mountains down. The rough places I'm going to make level. The crooked places are going to become straight so you can make good time. The rugged places where you've been stuck in the sand, they become a smooth, level plain. God says, I'm going to bring you back into victory and through deliverance. So be comforted today, because your days of exile are coming to an end. Be comforted that your days in depression or despair are about to be over. The wilderness wandering is just about finished, and God's going to put you on the super highway of deliverance and bring you out. Get ready. Get ready. He's coming for you, and he's going to bring you into a place of victory. And look at this. It's not going to be done in secret. It says, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The glory of the Lord refers to the Lord's presence and his victory and his blessing. His presence is going to be revealed, and others are going to take note of what's happened in your life, that God's presence has made the difference. Everybody's going to see it, he says. So be comforted. Deliverance is coming because the deliverer is coming, unhindered by mountains or obstacles. And your deliverance won't be done in secret. Everybody will see it and know it. How do I know that? Isaiah says, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He says, I'm not making this up. This didn't come from me. I got this straight from the Lord's mouth. All right. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And that's how I know it's going to come to pass. If you feel alone and forsaken this morning, like you're in your own exile somehow, or that God's forgotten where you are and you're just lost, set on the shelf somewhere, you're suffering through it, be comforted. He's going to lead you out of your bondage and into His glorious presence. Hear that voice crying in the desert this morning, get ready, get ready, get ready. The preparation's being made, get ready. God's coming to you, and there's going to be a reason for comfort. The deliverer is on His way. It's going to be all right. Notice this, that He'll comfort us with His word. Verse 6 says, a voice says, cry out. And the prophet said, well, what shall I cry? And then he says this, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. He's just reminding them of their mortality, that to trust in riches or in themselves is just foolish, because everything we have is temporary. All of life is fleeting and passing. There's no comfort to be found in yourself. There's no comfort in thinking, well, you know, this life is everything, isn't it? No, it's not, because it's fleeting. We can't comfort ourselves by our own strength or wisdom or even our best laid plans, because the truth is, some of what's got us in the mess we're in was our own best laid plans. It was my genius that got me in the mess that I'm in. So in what do we put our trust? And Isaiah reminds us that even though we're mortal and everything is withering and dying like the grass, in verse 8 he says, but the word of our God stands forever. We can stand upon His word. This is where our trust belongs, in something and someone that is eternally trustworthy. Trust in the Lord. Trust in His unchanging word. If He said it, you can believe it. You can live by it. You can die by it. You can build your life and your family upon it. It is truth for us. And in a world where everything is changing and shifting, what a comfort to know that God's word is forever settled and established in heaven. It's eternal. It doesn't change, and we can rest in His unchanging word. You can imagine the prophet picturing himself standing in the desert in the sands of Babylon and watching the wind blow and everything change. Some of you may have been there in Desert Storm and may have been in Iraq but in a matter of a few minutes, the whole horizon can change. You had a landmark out there somewhere, and then the wind blows and the sand moves and everything changes in front of you. And the prophet's saying, what do I do? Because everything looks different. What can I depend on? We depend upon God's word that stands forever. Comfort my people, he says. Tell them that your sins have been pardoned. Tell them that a way, a road, a path for deliverance has been provided. Tell them you can stand on God's word, because it will not fail. It is certain and sure. It's forever settled in heaven. And notice, not only will he comfort you with his word, but he'll comfort you with his presence. So in verse 9, he says, you who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and don't be afraid. And say to Jerusalem and to all the towns of Judah, here is your God. Well, there's good news. There's good news, because he's talking about people that are going to be in brokenness, and the walls are going to be torn down and the gates are burned and the people have been scattered everywhere. And he says, I want you to go out. I want you to get on top of the mountain, and I want you to shout it as loud as you can. Look, here's your God. He's shown up for you. He's shown up and ready to show out. He's come to deliver you and to give you help and strength. You who bring good tidings, whoever it is that announces the news, all right, he's saying, you who are the newscaster, proclaim this. God is about to show up. That kind of sounds familiar to me. You who bring good tidings. Does it sound a little bit like what the angel said in Luke 2? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You that pronounce good news, you that bring good tidings to Zion, to the people of God, get to the highest mountain and shout it so everybody can hear it. Don't be afraid and don't be timid and don't hold back, but lift up your voice and shout it and say, here Here is your God. Behold your God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Savior born of a virgin and in a manger. Behold Christ the Savior is born. That's the source of our comfort. That's the news of salvation for us today. Isaiah chapter 8 spoke of a day when mankind would look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they'll be thrust into utter darkness. Sounds like Washington, D.C. to me. He could be describing today where we just see distress and gloom and trouble everywhere. But then the prophet continues, "Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us," here's the glad tidings, here's the good news, "for to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Be comforted today. Your God has come. Well, how do we know? Is there a sign that lets us know that this is the one? Isaiah tells us, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and you'll call him Emmanuel, God with us." Be comforted today. A Savior has come. A Deliverer has come. God has come to us. He hasn't left us alone in our trouble, in our sin, in our despair. Emmanuel is with us. Remember, we said the Word of God stands forever. And remember what John's Gospel tells us, that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's Word stands forever. And God's Word has been made flesh for us, fleshed out the Word, fleshed out the Father in the person of Jesus Christ. And He is with us. We're not alone today. Emmanuel has come. And the prophet says, shout it from the mountaintops. Your God has come to you. Good news of great joy. A Savior is born. Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the Word made flesh and living among us. Shout it from the mountaintops, he says. God is with us. Do you need a Savior this morning? Boy, I do. Do you need a Deliverer this morning? I do. Do you need the comfort of God's truth in your heart and mind? I do. Do you need God's presence and His Word and His help in your life? I do. Do you need the Prince of Peace to bring peace to your troubled mind and heart? I do. Do you need the comfort that only the Comforter can bring? Yes, I do. And the prophet says, comfort, comfort my people. And he tells us how he comforts us, the way we learned in our memory verse this morning. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. He comforts us with gentle care. He draws us close. He's there to provide for us. Comfort my people, he says. That's the voice and the message of Christmas for this morning. That God has come in order to comfort his people, to give us hope, to remind us that we've got a future, that we are not going to be swallowed up in the despair or the discouragement that we may be feeling this morning or the circumstances that seem overwhelming to us today. He's come to save us. He's made a highway to us. And we hear one crying, prepare the way, because the Lord is coming. John the Baptist went crying, prepare the way in the wilderness, because Jesus was coming. And I'm doing the work this morning to tell you that Jesus is coming up your street. He's coming to tell you that He's going to be with you, and He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's coming in the desert. He's coming in the wilderness. He's coming to where you are to let you know He's here to bring you out and to bring you hope in a future. You may feel like you've been abandoned. Well, Isaiah's message isn't finished yet, although I am. At the very last of this chapter, he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord, or that my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? So if you feel like you've been rejected or forgotten, or God's forgotten about you, He's disregarded you, listen, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. And even young men grow tired and weary. They stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, those who put their trust and their hope in the Lord, will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. There is hope and there is comfort and there's an encouragement for you today. God hasn't forgotten you. He's not given up on you. He hasn't abandoned you. He's making a way for you and He's going to lead you through. Some of you are going through a time that you never thought you were going to have to experience. It feels like you're in the lowest place you've been in a long, long time. But there's good news for you. The God of all comfort is here with you today. His presence and His peace are going to be with you. He's going to lift you and sustain you. Christmas isn't going to be the end. It's going to be the beginning of a new day. There's reason for you to have hope because He is Emmanuel. He is with us today and we can rest in Him. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Thank the Lord that He is with us today. Father, we bless You and we give You thanks because You are with us today. It may feel lonely where we are. And this Christmas season, for some, Lord, it's a time of just discouragement. We just feel all alone. But what we know is that you've not forsaken us. Our way's not hidden from You. You know exactly where we are, and you're building a highway to us to deliver us. It's a way out. It's a pathway through. It's a way to victory. This is what we know, Lord. We may stumble and fall. And we may be weak and weary. We may have lost strength, Lord, to the point where we just don't see how we can get through the rest of this day. And we sure can't feel like we can get through tomorrow. But if we put our trust in You, if we wait upon the Lord, our strength will be renewed. We'll mount up with wings like eagles. We'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and we won't faint. And so, Lord, we're trusting You today to bring that comfort, to bring that hope to people that are discouraged today, to lift up those that just feel overwhelmed by their life or their circumstances or what they've battled through this past year or these past few weeks or months, Lord. It just feels like they've been all alone. But, Lord, what we know today is that You are Emmanuel and You are with us today. You're here to help us, to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us a future. Oh God, may the comfort of Christmas be in knowing that Emmanuel is with us. Your word is settled in heaven. It's eternal. And we don't have to be afraid. We can rest in You today. Oh, we bless Your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
And before you were ever born, He knew you in the womb even. And He will go before you. And that's why at this beautiful season that we offer the best that we have as a gift to Him. Because He's so deserving of anything that we might offer Him. So come to Him today with your burdens, with your troubles, with your sickness, with anything that is troubling you this day. The Master has an answer. He is the Master of you, whether you've accepted it or not. He's your Master.
Thank you, Lord. The very beginning of that word from the Lord, He said that He was a beautiful architect for our lives. We bring Him raw material today. And some of what we bring, the Holy Spirit there said, bring the best to Him. But then the invitation was to all of us, even whether we acknowledge that He's the Master of our lives or not. The invitation then is for us to bring whatever we've got. Some of us, we've just got a lot of broken pieces. We've just got a lot of ruin and a lot of hurt. We've got shame and guilt and grief. We've made a lot of mistakes. And we bring our life to Him in broken pieces and say, here, God, here's all the mistakes of the last 30 years. Here's all the stuff. What do You think You can make out of this? And God says, you know, I'm a beautiful architect. And I can take broken pieces and fashion them into something whole, something right, something that you can build the rest of your life upon. And so I encourage you this morning somebody here today, it just feels like, no, you don't understand how broken the pieces are. Well, you don't understand what a glorious builder and architect He is. That what the devil meant to destroy you, God intends for good. You hear me this morning. What you thought would destroy you, would break you, would grind you to dust, God intends to work it for your good. He's the God who is with you today in your pain. He's the God who's with you in your circumstances that just seem overwhelming. It's like, oh, I'm hoping to wake up in the morning and this nightmare will be over with. And then you wake up and no, it's still there. But I'm telling you, God wants to encourage you today. He's with you in the midst of this and He's going to see you through. Would you receive that as a word of encouragement and comfort from the Holy Spirit this morning? He's not done with you. He's not forsaken you. He's not forgotten you. He's not abandoned you. He's going to see you through this. I believe that today. I believe that's a word for somebody. Be encouraged today. God, Emmanuel, is with us. Let's sing this little chorus that Bryce is playing. Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. And would you just rejoice in knowing that He's with you today in the midst of whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever you're going through. Emmanuel is with us. Let's sing that. Emmanuel, His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed. Father, I thank You this morning that You are with us, God in the flesh appearing, and we've beheld You full of glory and grace and truth, and we can trust You today, Lord. Father, if there's some here among us, they've not made Jesus the Savior and Lord of their life, we can fix that today. The God who is with us is here now as our Savior. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. That forgiveness and our iniquity pardoned, our sins forgiven and our record expunged, all of that happens when we place our trust in You. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask You to save us today. If you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, just ask Him right now to forgive your sins. Just tell Him, Lord, forgive me. Take away my sin. I want that new life. I want to be a new person in Christ. I can't bear this any longer. I can't live this way any longer. I need You to come save me and change me. He'll give you new life and full and abundant pardon today. And Lord, for those who are broken by circumstances today, wrap them up, Lord, like the Good Shepherd. Draw them close to Your heart and assure them, Lord, that You will shepherd them, that You'll provide for them. You're going to make the crooked places straight. You'll make level the rough ground. You'll bring the mountains down and You'll lift up the valleys so it's a level place. You're even going to prepare green pastures and still waters for them. In the midst of the desert, there'll be a straight highway. You'll lead us into Your presence, Lord. Your provision is there for us today. I expect, Lord, that in the next few days, there's some that are here that are going to begin to see God to change their circumstances in such a way. They're going to look back and say, I didn't see how God could do this, but He has. He's put me in the center of His will. I'm kept in the hollow of His hand, and no harm can come to me. Even when I thought the storm was about to overwhelm me, God's provision is there for me. Lord, I believe You're going to encourage somebody. The prophet said that You wouldn't extinguish a smoldering wick. Speaking of You, Lord, You're going to fan back to flame something, Lord. The wick just feels like it's going out in our life, and You're going to breathe upon it and fan it back into a flame. And there's going to be encouragement and strength come to us today because we hope in the Lord. We wait upon You. You'll cause us to soar with the eagles again, Lord. Come do all of that good work as You comfort us with Your presence and Your eternal word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.